Hey, you're tuned in to the Verve Podcast live from the heart of Las Vegas, Nevada. Thanks for listening, and viva la Verve!
Wednesday, September 3rd of this year, was a particularly busy day for me. All right, I got up at 6:30, got the kids up, made them breakfast, got them ready for school. 8 o'clock, I got to take my son to school. And then I do real estate, and so I had to race across from my side of town over to Henderson. At 9 o'clock, I had a client who was doing their final walkthrough of their property. We were getting ready to close. After that final walkthrough, I raced here. We had a meeting at 10:30, a creative meeting where we get together and plan what we're going to do during these services. So that usually takes a couple of hours. After that, I filmed a video, and then I met with my boss here, Jeff Bennett. I met with him for an hour. Then after that, I had to race back over to Henderson. I had another client that was interested in a couple of condos, so showed them the condos for that afternoon. I had to make sure I was back to my side of town by 5 to pick up my son. I picked him up, went home, grabbed the rest of the family. There was a family here at Verve that was moving to Arizona, so we had agreed that we were going to go pack them up, and so we raced to their house and packed them up and make sure they're all good to go. By the way, this is not an advertisement for me as a moving service. Just so you know, just want to throw that disclaimer out here. But so we helped them out, got them all ready, stayed way past the kids' bedtime. So it was time to take them home, took them home. You know, it takes like an hour or so by the time you give them a bath and do all that stuff and get them ready for bed and finally put them to bed. And then finally, after all that, I can sit down and open up my computer and go over all the emails that I missed for all that day. Anybody ever have a day kind of like that where it's just like the world just kind of comes, like two people, you bunch of liars. That's what's in this room right now. We've all had those kind of days, right? Days where it just seems like, man, it's just full. It is just full. And most of us can live those pretty crazy lives quite often. And there are just days that it all comes together and there's just too much to do and not enough time to do it. And you find yourself living at a speed of life that is just crazy. Or at the very minimum, you would say, it's unsustainable. And days like that, unfortunately, I have to admit, are probably more often than not, they're kind of normal for me. And so as I began to think about this week's message about how we can live these crazy lives, how do we create margin in there, I realized, man, my life can be crazy. My life can spill into those margins. And the problem is I'm so busy filling up my calendar that often I don't leave room for what God wants me to put on my calendar. And I wonder if maybe you're like me, that just some days there just isn't enough time. Last week, we began this series, Room to Breathe, and we began by talking about this idea of margins. And we talked about some of these terms, and I want to do a review of that because I think it kind of makes a lot of sense. So if you weren't here last week, I encourage you, go on our website, vivalaverve.org. You can, there's an archive on there of all of our past services. You can go back and you can watch last week's service and kind of catch up, or you can download them off of iTunes if you want. But just in case you weren't here last week and you're not going to do any of those things I just said, let's go over these terms that we learned last week. So we compared our lives to this piece of paper. Right, and on this piece of paper, you have what we call the limit. It's the whole paper. It's the maximum amount of space on that paper. And then we have what's called the load. It's the space you actually write in. It's the space that you actually take up, the space being used on that paper. And so the in-between space, that's called the margin. It's your limit minus the load. It's everything that's left over. And so our lives are kind of like that, right? We all have limits. We have the maximum amount of time and of money and of energy. And then we all have our load. It's the amount of time and money and energy that we're actually using. And so what's left over, it's our margin. You might even call it our reserves. It's the space between our daily load and our maximum limit that we can handle. And the reason that you use a piece of paper, that the reason you leave margin on that paper is because it makes it easier to read, right? And then if you need to add something or you want to put a note in there, you have room to add something. And so the same goes true with our lives. The reason you have time margins built into your life is because it makes living life easier. And sometimes when it's necessary and you have to add something, it makes it sustainable so that your life, your time, your money, your sanity doesn't begin to slip off the edges of that paper. But the problem is, as I think for a lot of us, and myself included, our daily load, it sometimes spills out to that maximum limit. It's about all that we can handle. And so we live lives that are stressed out and that are overburdened. We're not experiencing the peace and the rest that God promises when we live life the way he wants us to live it. Because whether we realize it or not, we're making the choice not to. In the next few weeks, we're going to talk about some different aspects of this. Next week, we're going to talk about having physical margins in our lives. And then the last week of this series, we're going to talk about having financial margin in our life. But today, we're going to talk about establishing these time reserves into our overbooked lives, because I'm certain that I'm not the only person in this room, a bunch of liars, that live life at this unsustainable pace, right? So let's look at how we can start taking steps towards building in these time margins. And this first step, it's a really tough step. It might be the toughest one, but it is mandatory if we are going to deal with this. It's time that we kind of come clean with one another. I think we're all carrying around this secret. You ready? And the secret is this. We believe that the more exhausted we are, the more important we are. We believe that the more exhausted we are, the more important we are. We actually take pleasure in kind of casually detailing our lives to our friends of how busy and how tired we are. Kind of like what I did at the beginning of this sermon, right? Our meetings and our deadlines, even maybe our kids' crammed activity schedules, they can become these badges of busyness that we wear and that we like to show off to our friends. So we say, oh man, gosh, I'm so tired. I had like 10 meetings today, and we're kind of trying to show off this badge. Or this badge here, or this badge. That's for that really important business trip that I've got to New York next week. I mean, well, that time difference, that's a killer. Or this badge here, oh, this badge, man, my six-year-old, she's in like 14 different activities, in dance and soccer and baseball, and oh man, she's got to be the best at everything, right? Oh, I'm so tired of taking her to all of these practices. Oh, whew. And we wear these badges of busyness like badges of honor. And listen, I'm not perfect. I struggle with this, especially in real estate. When I was starting out in real estate, like every client I got, I felt like I had to say yes to. It didn't matter what it was, didn't matter what time they wanted to see houses. I felt like I had to say yes, right? Because, I mean, a client's money. And if I love my family, I need to make money to provide for them. So everything was a yes. And I used to feel that way up until one day I missed my mother-in-law's birthday party. Well, I missed it, right? No, I'm just kidding. Family it's very important to me. And I had crammed my schedule so full that I couldn't get away soon enough, and I missed it. And it was a wake-up call for me. So let's take a look and see what the Bible has to say. If you brought your Bible with you, go ahead and open it up to Ecclesiastes chapter 4. It's in the Old Testament, Ecclesiastes chapter 4. If you didn't bring your Bible with you, don't worry about it. We'll throw the verse up on the screen behind me so that you can kind of follow along. Here at Verve, we believe that reading the Bible and applying it to your life can change your life. So if you don't own an easy-to-read translation of the Bible, we give them out for free. Back there at the Velcro bar, there's just a stack of them. They're orange. Feel free to grab one. Take two. They're free. Anyway, Ecclesiastes chapter 4. Here's what it says. So it's kind of talking about our busyness. It says, and I saw that all toil and all achievement spring from one person's envy of another. This too is meaningless, a chasing after the wind. Now, put your finger right there because we're going to come back to that. But man, whew, that writer, he's really digging down deep, maybe even a little too deep than we want to admit. He's kind of digging at the reason why we wear these badges. See, I want to be clear, what he's not saying is that working is bad or that having a job is bad. But what he's saying is, he's saying that if we're not careful, that these badges of busyness that we wear, they can come from a very unhealthy place, a place of envy, a place of pride, maybe a place of greed. And if that's true, that can really cost us. Man, if we're going to have any hope of creating these time reserves in our lives, it has to start with a change in our attitude. And so the first step that we need to take is to tear off these badges. Because these badges, they can actually become barriers. Barriers between you and the people that you love the most in your life. Barriers that prevent us from actually experiencing life. And we end up doing everything at a speed that robs us and those around us from really living. One sociologist called it hyper-living. Kind of like just skimming along the surface of life and living at a superficial level. I mean, think about eating dinner with your kids. If you guys actually have the time to eat dinner together, right? Like, do you sit down and do you actually ask about their day? And are you actually interested in what they say? Do you share together on a deep level about what is going on in your lives? Or are you just shoveling food in your mouth as quickly as you can to get on to the next thing in your schedule? Or what about time with your friends? When you actually get a chance to spend time together with your friends, is it deep? Is it meaningful? Or is it, hey, how you doing? Oh, I'm doing good. How you doing? Okay. And then you kind of move on to the next thing. Or how about this? When you think about the upcoming holidays, right? Think about Christmas. Think about Thanksgiving. When you think about that, does it bring on feelings of anticipation? Because you know there's going to be a real celebration and you're going to be able to reflect upon all these good times that you had when it's over. Or does the thought of Thanksgiving and Christmas bring up a lot of stress because your to-do list just gets bigger and bigger and bigger, and it actually kind of robs you of some of the joy that you should have? Or perhaps even worse is when tragedy strikes and you don't take the time to grieve, maybe because you don't have the time to grieve. Listen, that's not the way that God intended life to be led. I'll flip back a page there in Ecclesiastes. Ecclesiastes chapter 3, the beginning of chapter 3 there. It says this, it says, there is a time for everything and a season for every activity under the heavens, a time to be born and a time to die, a time to plant and a time to uproot, a time to kill and a time to heal, a time to tear down, a time to build, a time to weep and a time to laugh, a time to mourn and a time to dance. Turn, turn, turn there. No, I'm just kidding. But here's the deal, though. If we don't build this margin into our lives, if we're too busy trying to gain these badges of busyness to show off, then we can really miss out on some of the best seasons in our lives. One time, Jesus, he was teaching a group of people, and he said this to him. He said, take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and humble in heart. Now, yoke, we don't use that word a lot. It was an instrument that they used. They put it over oxen so they could tie them together. And so that when they were pulling the plow, the oxen would pull in the same direction and at the same speed. And so Jesus is saying, being a Christian, it doesn't just mean that you get to go to heaven when you die. It also means that on earth we get to walk with him. We get to walk with him as we do our work, and we get to walk in the same direction as him and the same speed as him. And he says this, Jesus says, learn from me. Learn from me. You'll notice Jesus never really flashed his badges, did he? I mean, and if anybody ever had some good badges to flash, Jesus was one of them, right? I mean, you don't see Jesus like, oh man, I'm so tired. Gosh, I just got done feeding like 5,000 people. I don't know if you heard about it. It's a pretty good story, but oh, I'm exhausted. 5 loaves, 2 fish. 5,000 people. It's pretty impressive. Right? Jesus didn't do that. He didn't do that. So we don't need to do that. We've got to learn to tear off these badges. They are becoming barriers to our living. And that's going to be difficult for a lot of us because, frankly, these badges are what our self-image are based on. And we need to learn to base our self-image, to get our self-worth, not what other people think of us and how important we are, but what God thinks of us and how important we are. I need to be able to look at myself in the mirror and say, man, I am accepted by God. I am loved by God. I am valued and I am treasured by God. And I need to learn to rest in that so that I don't have to worry about accomplishing a million things or filling up my schedule with 1,000 activities just so I can impress someone. I don't even know who. God loves me, and that's enough for me. and it needs to be enough for you. So if we're going to find room to breathe by creating these reserves, we've got to tear off these badges because they're becoming barriers. That's the first step. And we can't take the next step unless we do that. But to make margin, we do need to take the next step. Because even when we begin to find our identity in Christ, that doesn't automatically, you know, open up time. God is like, oh, you love me. Now you get 26 hours in a day, right? That's not the way he works. So the next step is actually learning to take our time. Because life actually, the progression of life becomes more complicated, right? Like the older we get, we actually get more responsibility, typically, not less. So even if we tear off these badges, life is still going to be complex. And we could find ourselves a year from now actually having a busier schedule than we do today. So someone once said, you'll never find time for anything. If you want time, you got to take it. You got to take it. See, in only very rare cases are the circumstances so beyond your control that you can't influence how you spend your time. You are the architect of your schedule. So if your schedule seems like a prison, guess who built it? And so the second step is to actually take our time. Take control of our choices. Take control and budget our time according to what we value. I don't know about you, but in my family, I'm really big on setting like a financial budget. I want to know how much money we have coming in and how much money that we have going out. That's important to us. And I think our time should be of equal importance. I think we need to do something kind of similar with that budgeting. The Bible says in Ephesians chapter 5, it says, be very careful then on how you live, not as unwise, but as wise, making the most of every opportunity. Be wise about how you spend your time. Don't spend your time on things that are unimportant to you. You know, this week, we'll celebrate Veterans Day. And I'm sure that we have some servicemen in here, some people who have served our country. So let's just take a moment. Let's thank them. I think of my papa. He served in the armed forces during World War II. And during World War II, our country was committed, and they rallied around diverting as much of our resources into the war effort as possible. Almost anything that you could ration was rationed, especially oil and gas. And as a part of this effort, there were signs and billboards and posters that were all over the place. And they asked a question that simply said, is this trip necessary? Is this trip necessary? And I think we'd be wise if we want to live, like the Bible says, use our time wisely. We'd be wise if we kind of put up some of these mental images or signs kind of scattered throughout our day. Is this trip necessary? You know, I know all three parties are this weekend, right? And they're all good friends. I don't want to disappoint any of them. So we'll just drive around town and, you know, make appearances at all of them. Well, stop. Is this trip necessary? All three kids, man, they're already enrolled in soccer, but baseball season's right around the corner, so I guess if we could juggle six different sporting schedules and stop. Is this trip necessary? Man, going on this business trip, it'd sure pad our wallet quite a bit. It'd kind of expand our budget, but it is going to mean I miss my daughter's recital. Well, stop. Is this trip necessary? We have to take control of our time. And part of taking control of our time is admitting that we're going to have to say no, not just to the bad things, but we're going to have to say no to some good things as well. Now, last week, Vince, our lead pastor, he was up here talking about that. We need to learn from Jesus. We need to see how he lived. And so we encouraged you to read a biography of Jesus, the book of Luke. And so if you did that, if you didn't, start today. Read the book of Luke and learn from Jesus. But if you started last week, you would have read Luke chapter 4. And there's a story in there that I find quite interesting. I think it applies to these situations. Luke chapter 4 starts verse 42. I'm going to read it for you here. It says, at daybreak, Jesus went out to a solitary place. The people were looking for him, and when they came to where he was, they tried to keep him from leaving them. But he said, I must proclaim the good news of the kingdom of God to the other towns also, because that is why I was sent. So see, Jesus had been spending all this time in this town preaching the good news that God is available to them, that God loves them. He was healing their sick. And so they bring more sick to him, and he says, no, I got to go. So what, Jesus, well, there's all these sick people still here, and you're just going to leave? Yeah, yeah. Because Jesus was clear, and he was confident on what his mission was. And he knew to accomplish the mission that God had sent him to do, to live the life that God wanted him to live, it would mean not just saying no to bad things, it would mean saying no to some good things as well, so that he could say yes to the best things. And the same is true for us. We have to develop a sense of urgency about taking our time, about taking control and owning our choices and budgeting our time according to what God values. And if we don't aggressively plan and manage our time, including choosing what we're going to do up front, you know what's going to happen? Other people will do it for us. See, in your schedule, any unseized time that we have, it's going to come under the influence of the most dominant people in your lives. And so if we don't take control of it, other people will. So I know for me personally, it means I've had to proactively take control of my time and develop what is going to be a priorities in my life. My wife and I, we keep a calendar that syncs with our phone to make sure that we're always putting in there the things that are most important. And so I mentioned I live a very hectic and unsustainable life. And so there are days when doing the important things, the necessary things I need to do in my life, it just makes me live at a hectic pace. So I know that I need to take some days off from time to time because that's not sustainable. You can't do that forever. And so I make sure that I take time to relax. Well, my daughter has a field trip in a couple of weeks. That goes on the calendar. That is important. And everything else can get scheduled around that. We have one day a week at my house where we call it no tech night, right? We don't turn on the TV. We don't turn on our phones, parents included, right? And I make sure, man, I'm going to play with Legos with my son that night, right? Because that is important to me. We're going on a trip to Disneyland in a couple of weeks. My wife and I are planning a trip over to the UK to visit some friends in the spring. And those go on the calendar first because those are important. Those are important to us. We have to proactively take control of it. My wife and I, we make sure almost every night, we're not perfect and some nights it just doesn't work out, but almost every night, one of the last things we do right before we go to sleep is we pray together. Because for me, a priority in my life is that if I say I'm going to pray for you about something, I mean it and I'm going to do it. And I want to make sure my wife and I spend time with God together. And so I want to encourage you, and you're going to need to determine what those priorities are, and you're going to have to take control of your time so that you live by them. Frankly, I'm glad you took the time to come here this morning. It'd be really awkward if you guys weren't here right now. So, I hope that you will find that your priorities become what God wants your priorities to be. That spending time in the Bible, that spending time in prayer, spending time serving other people will become some of those top priorities in your life because God has told us that that is the best way to live, that those need to be priorities in our schedule. Now listen, I'm not saying that you so rigidly fix your schedule that you become inflexible and you can't be open to respond to new situations. Actually, what I'm suggesting is the opposite. That when you begin to prioritize your life, you're going to find that by living by those priorities, by establishing the things that you value, you're going to be more flexible, and you're going to have you're going to have time and margin built in when special circumstances require it. So, first step, we got to tear off our badges. And the second step, we have to proactively take hold of our time. And so, for most of us, there's one more crucial step, and it's hard. It might be the toughest step. We have to reduce or eliminate time wasters. You might even call them life wasters. Thoreau once said that the cost of a thing is the amount of life which is required to be exchanged for it. The cost of a thing is the amount of life which is required to be exchanged for it. The Bible says in Psalm 90, it says, teach us to number our days that we may gain a heart of wisdom. It's saying, man, help us to realize that this limit, this is all we get. We all have a finite amount of time on this earth. And so anything in your life that you're kind of devoting too much time to, you're not just wasting time, you're wasting life. And I imagine for a lot of us, it probably revolves around media, right? Research says that the average American watches 4 hours of TV a day. 4 hours a day, that's the average. Now, I can tell merely by your commitment to coming here every single week, you guys are above average. You guys are a high intellect. I know this. So we'll give you guys the benefit of the doubt. Let's say two. Let's say you do that 2 hours a day. Research also says that Americans spend 2 hours a day on social media, on Facebook, on Twitter, Instagram, Reddit, whatever. They spend 2 hours a day doing that. Research also says that Americans aged 8 to 18 spend 2 hours a day playing video games. Now, let's just say, for the sake of argument, you do one of those. Let's say just one of those things is what you do. My guess is we probably do two, but let's just say you do one, right? Let's say you spend 2 hours a day on media. That averages or adds up to 730 hours a year. That's 30 days. 30 days a year. Now you add that up over a 70-year life, that's 6 years. And just 2 hours a day, that's 6 years. Now, let's say you do four. Let's say you do two of those things, or you're the average American that watches 4 hours of TV a day. That's 60 days a year. That's 12 years over the course of a 70-year life. So Thoreau said, the cost of a thing is the amount of life which is required to be exchanged for it. 12 years of your life. Man, forget Common Core. That's some funky math right there, right? I mean, think about this. Let's add this up. Let's just say, because I'm not very intelligent, let's say for the sake of argument, to make the math easy for me, you make $50,000 a year. Let's just say, right? And let's say you work 50 hours a week. So we'll take out a couple weeks of vacation. You break all that down, that means you make about $20 an hour. That's what it breaks down to. You make about $20 an hour. So let's say you make $20 an hour. If you spend 2 hours of your day watching TV or Facebook or video games or whatever, that monetarily is costing you $14,600 a year. Let's say your average, and you do it for 4 hours, that's over $29,000 a year. Let's see what the Bible says about this. 1 Corinthians chapter 10. Verse 23, it says, everything is permissible, but not everything is beneficial. Everything is permissible, but not everything is constructive. It's saying, hey, we get it. There are some things, we understand there are some things that are not inherently bad, that we have the freedom of doing. They're not wrong, but maybe we should still choose not to do them because, frankly, they're not constructive for us. When it comes to our time and to making choices, there are some things that they're not just necessarily wrong, but maybe if we're honest, they're just not necessary. Lots of things are permissible, but establishing the healthy time reserves that God intended for us requires that we do the constructive over the unnecessary. So, what do we need to do? First, we need to tear off our badges. We need to examine the motives of why we're so busy. Maybe we need to ask God how we can approach life in a way that's sustainable and what changes we might need to make to help us to tear off those badges, tear off the need to impress others. Second step, we need to actually take our time. Maybe spend some time this week thinking about how you might be guilty of not actively taking hold of your time and not spending it according to the priorities that you want to set. And then third, maybe we can reduce or maybe even eliminate some of those time wasters, those life wasters. Maybe push them back a little bit. If you're 4 hours, make it two. If you're two, one. If you're one, maybe 30 minutes. Think how we can take back our time. And look, is this easy? No, it's not easy. Because if it was easy, we'd all do it, right? But the stakes are too high. It's not just a matter of putting stuff on your calendar. This is your life. This is your life that you could waste. It's too important. Don't suffocate in your busyness. Find some room to breathe. Let's take a look again at that verse where Jesus was teaching, and he said, take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I'm gentle and humble heart. There's a second part of that verse, and it says this. It says, for you will find rest for your souls. You'll find rest for your souls. Man, I don't know about you, but some days that sounds pretty good, to find some rest for my souls. Rest from the idea that I have to impress somebody about the amount I work or how busy my schedule is. Rest from other people deciding what needs to be a priority in my life. Rest from impressing all of my Instagram followers, right? Rest. Rest for my soul. I often hear at Verve, after the message, we like to give you a chance to kind of live this out, to think about it. And I think part of that process of learning to live this out is just using this time to reflect and think about, okay, what am I going to change? What am I going to change? Because the truth is, if you come here and you have fun and a good time, good, we're glad. And if you come here and you're a little bored, I'm sorry. But honestly, we don't care about either of those things. Because what we think is that God wants to change us. He wants to change us from the inside out. And so how are we going to allow this to change us, to make God's priorities more of our priorities? And so to help you do that, we often will have the band come up and we'll have them play a song and invite you to stand up and sing along with us. And we are going to have the band come up, but this time we're going to have the band play, and I want you to just sit there. I want this to be perhaps maybe the beginning of that rest. I want you to just to be still for a moment. Because who knows, after this, you might be walking out of here and your schedule's full and you got all these badges that you need to go earn, right? Okay, well right now, we're going to have margin. Right now, we're going to have rest. Right now, we're going to be still. If you want, during this time, you can choose to make communion a part of your experience. Communion is a piece of bread and a cup of juice. And it's a reminder of the sacrifice that Jesus made for us, the ultimate mission that he knew God had called him to. And that gives us the opportunity to live life the way God wants us to live it. And so if you want to make that a part of your experience, you can do so during the song. It's available on the three candlelit tables that are kind of spread out through around the room. And so I encourage you during this time to just take a moment. Think about how you can tear off those badges. Think about how you can grab hold of your time and how you can eliminate those life wasters. I'm going to pray. God, I am perhaps the most guilty in this room of filling the need to fill up my schedule so that I feel important. And so, God, I just pray this morning that I pray I'd repent of that. I pray that I would stop doing that, that I would make sure that the priority of my day would be the priority that you put inside of it, the priority that you want it to be, and that, God, I would spend the rest of my days on this earth not wasting my time and therefore not wasting my life, but pursuing and being tied into that the yoke that you desire, that walking alongside of you and learning from you. Help me to create that margin so I can do that. God, we love you, and we just thank you for this opportunity to spend this time together and to learn from you. In the name of your Son, we pray. Amen.